let's do the thing.
We only missed a few weeks here and there. I went ahead and just hit record because we're still just running our mouths.
Yeah, that's what we do.
It's how our show starts. Everybody's like, I think they're in the middle of a really interesting conversation. And no, we're not.
So Austin St. John and Dason Frank still hate each other.
Dason Frank?
Dason Frank. Dason.
Dason Frank?
Dason David Frank.
Dason David Frank and St. John Austin just don't like each other.
They still don't like each other.
Erg.
It's been like 22 years, guys. Let it go.
God damn. It's been 20. No, yeah, the last episode of Arg was number 25. Because there was going to be Room Full of Nerd Stuff number 1, but then there was the issue with the stuffs, so we were just like, that's Arg number 25. So if we had kept going, this would be Arg number 52.
Wow.
But we changed the name of that because we could market that podcast to something much more marketable.
Something that people could spell.
Something you could Google.
You can't really Google Erg. Like, is that 3 G's or how many H's are in Erg?
It was 2 R's, 2 G's, 1 H, I think. Was that how I spelled it?
See, you don't even know how you spelled it. It was our show and we don't know how to spell it.
2 R's, 2 G's, 1 H.
It makes it very difficult to market a show when even the hosts don't know how to spell the name of the show.
So welcome to Room Full of Nerd Stuff number 27. 52... I almost said consecutive. That would be a goddamn lie. 52 podcasts in some form of a row.
Wow. So can we do like the Marvel numbering and
just start over at number 1 tomorrow?
No, next week is
53. Next week is I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Just be Room Full of Nerd Stuff 53 and people will be very confused.
I did that with a podcast once actually, not too long ago. No, about 3 years ago. Because we, like, did a few episodes, and then we went away, and then we came back with a new name, and then I said, fuck it, we're going to count the old ones as the current one. Tomorrow's number 10.
And were people confused?
Nobody listened to that piece of shit podcast. We only did, like, one more after that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Seems familiar.
Seems. Huh. If you think we should renumber Room Full of Nerd Stuff Marvel style, just tweet us with the hashtag. What should the hashtag be?
I don't know. Room full of new name. Room full of new numbers.
Room full of number stuff.
That's a catchy hashtag. I noticed no one tweeted Ben as an asshole.
I did a bunch. I tried to get it trending.
Yeah.
And I had another Ben who was like, "What did I do?" And I'm like, "Not you, not you."
Meanwhile, Ben Rosenthal's like, "Whatever."
He's over in Australia, petting his koala. That's a really bad euphemism.
That's no way to talk about his daughter.
Oh, now I hope he doesn't listen
to this.
She's
not a koala, Chris. That's mean. She's a human girl.
I'm going to just not touch that one. So, it's been a week.
It has been a week. I have nothing to talk about this week.
I've got a few things to talk about. Let's get this. I don't think we've really talked about this. I think we briefly mentioned this. Wednesday, because this is Friday. Wednesday.
Something really big is going to happen tomorrow, and we're going to be like, shit, we should have recorded.
Today is July 11th, right, Mike?
Yes.
Today is 7/11.
It is totally July 11th and not the 9th.
Get a slushy. Hey, it's not the 9th where I am, sir.
It's not the 10th where you are.
It's the 11th.
It's totally the 11th for both of us.
But on Wednesday, the 9th.
And we're doing this in our professional studio and not our bedroom.
We just had a staffing meeting where I fired like 9 people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, totally legit.
Goddamn interns. God damn it.
Fucking interns. Anyways, Wednesday was the 4th episode of our current series, Super Sentai Single Shots.
Yes!
Which I think we've mentioned in passing, but not really discussed. Mike, tell the nice people what Super Sentai Single Shots is.
Super Sentai Single Shots is where Chris and I watch the first episode of every Sentai and do sort of a commentary over it. Somewhat Mystery Science Theater style, except not as funny. And it's been a chore.
That's a good summary of this podcast and that series. Like Mystery Science Theater, but less funny.
Not as funny.
Yeah, as I mentioned in one of them, we were real excited because, you know, we haven't really watched the first episode of, like, Zoo Ranger and O-Ranger and Hurricanger and all those. I've watched, like, the opening themes, but I've never really bothered to track down the first episodes. So, right. Well, we've watched Zoo Ranger. I think we both watched that.
Yeah, I've made it through the first, like, five episodes of Zoo Ranger about a dozen times with the idea that I'm going to watch the entire series beginning to end, and I get to about five or six and get distracted.
I made it to the what would have been the American end of the Green with Evil storyline. And it's always kind of like, well, I'll come back to this when I give a shit. The problem we didn't take into account was, A, the availability of, like, every Sentai pre-Zero Ranger. I think we've watched four of them in Portuguese now.
Yeah.
Two we just couldn't find and found, like, after we had recorded the next one and said, well, we don't know where that one is. Fuck it. We are actually, like, doing really good about, like, getting these done in advance and not doing them the night before, though. I will say that.
Yeah, the episodes that we recorded last week, I think you guys will see in maybe early 2015.
Something like that. Because it's like, if I run it weekly, we'll be done in less than a year, like 35 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you run it every other week, we get a year and a half out of it. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get squirrely and do a Super Sentai single shots week and burn through all this pre-Zoo Ranger bullshit that nobody cares about.
We should find the movies. Like the Sentai crossover movies?
Do the crossover movies?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
If I can actually find most of them.
Yeah, I was about to say that we may run into the same problem we ran where it's like, well, let's watch Dingy Man now. Dingy Man, which we could not find for a week.
And then found in Portuguese.
It's actually what went up Wednesday, which I need to put on the website. I never put it on the website. It's on YouTube, but I keep forgetting to put things on the website, which has a new layout and looks very nice.
It does look nice. I have gone to the website.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy with it. It's got a lot of features that I have been wanting to implement for the past, oh, I don't know, 20 years.
Since before the website existed, I've been wanting to put these things on it. And
hey, if you consider, like, my internet presence as one long stretch of time, and considering the fact that the concept, and for the most part, the name of that website has not changed. That website started in 1999.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are that guy that came up with something in high school and just could not let it go.
Pretty much. Because that was when it was just a Dragon Ball Z fan page. And then 2001, it became the anime homeworld. And then it disappeared for a few years. And when it came back, I dropped all the anime and just called it the homeworld.
And now it's going to have to be called the podcast homeworld.
Podworld.
Podworld. Podcast Power Ranger Homeworld.
Power Ranger Homeworld. Man, I just realized, I said before we recorded, hey, let's get this out of our system because we don't want to talk about Power Rangers on the podcast. And the first thing I said was, hey, Mike, tell everybody about this Super Sentai thing we're doing.
It's not Power Rangers. It's completely different. It's Japanese.
But yeah, the biggest problem we've run into with the Super Sentai thing is we forgot that before we can get to the ones we're interested in, we're going to have to fucking slog through 14 just shitty Super Sentai. I don't know how this franchise has lasted past the third year, let's be honest.
Yeah, the first three were pretty difficult to sit through. I mean, I can see in some of them how there was promise.
I could see looking at Goranger, looking at that and saying, there's something here. Because there's not really like a theme or anything, it's just a team of superheroes.
Right.
Then you get to Jacka, and you've got the playing card theme. And it's like, this is a little weird. You know, maybe there's a misstep. And then you hit Battle Fever J, where they dance.
But again, it's Japan.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much television they had in the 70s. Maybe this is all they had when it came out.
It's possible.
So it's like, we got to make this work because we got nothing else.
I mean, also considering they were the 70s, they're dated.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just missing something about the 70s.
Yeah, it is clearly not our generation.
There is an impressive amount of gunplay in them.
People just getting mowed down left and right by the grunts that have automatic weapons.
I think the last one we watched, weren't there just like some really impressive blood spurts coming off?
Yeah,
of
that one was really surprisingly gory.
Really? So, that's the show. It's on the YouTube. YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/homeworldvideo. Or I'm posting them on the homeworld.net if you want to watch them. I think it's enjoyable enough. I think it'll be better when we get to something we're a little more familiar with and can kind of compare to something we know.
Yeah, if we could like make references to Power Rangers, that would probably make it a little easier, because instead of us just going, what is that monster? Why are they, oh god, they've got cards on their face. Why are they got cards on their face?
And when we can a little more consistently find them in a decent subtitled format, too. Yeah. Because it's not fun when it's in Portuguese.
I did find the last cam. One that we were missing, and
I saw that
it has not been taken down yet, so we should be able to watch it at least before tonight.
So we'll knock that out tonight, July 11th, 2015,
because we're gonna be a couple
in the future. This podcast is going up July 11th, 2015,
the day we recorded it. Duh,
it's 2014, Mike.
That's the day we recorded it. Duh, shut up.
In 2015?
Shut up.
I woke up this morning and I had an email. I had an email from my future self, and it said, here's this week's podcast. And I was like, oh, sweet, I'm going to bed.
I got nothing to do today.
Fuck this. Mike can go watch people get their trach tubes scraped out and shit.
Oh, God.
Let's just bring this up. What were you watching that was on?
Oh, we're just watching television, and it's one of these anti-smoking ads that tries to show you all the bad things that happen. And it was this...
Oh.
Since the old lady with the hole in her throat died, they had to find this guy now, and he's got this hole in his throat, and saying all this stuff about, like, remember not to face the shower when you're showering, or remember not to eat hard foods. And then at the end of it, he's like, remember to clean your trach hole twice a day, and he takes, like, a bottle brush and shoves it into his hole. It's like, that's good to show around 6:30 as people are sitting down for a meal, you pricks. But then we watch this show, Naked and Afraid.
Right.
Where, if anyone doesn't know what that is, they take two people, a man and a woman, kind of drop them into the wilderness, and then they have to survive for, like, 20 days or something like that. And... like, can't show anything there. Bleep out the curse words. Blur out all the bits. Because, you know, the children.
The kids.
God forbid they see any, like, non-sexual nudity. But they can watch a guy scrub out his trach hole. That's great. Jesus Christ. This stupid goddamn country, I swear to God. Bad and asshole of it.
There's only one solution. I know what we need to do. We start this campaign right now. I can be successful.
What's that?
We have to sexualize tracheotomy holes.
There you go. I'm sure it's a thing already. I am not going to look it up.
DeviantArt, get on this.
Usually, when I hear something like that, I am right on it, but that is not something that I want to...
Hashtag trach porn.
No.
You ever looked at a girl and thought, I just want to get down in her lungs? Here is your chance.
It's like Deep Throat 2, the trach hole.
Oh. You want to let me hold the baby?
Jesus. No, I'm not looking that up. I don't care if it exists. I'm not even gonna... I'm sure it does. I'm sure that there is someone out there that is their thing. I am not that person.
So find your favorite tracheotomy porn and send it on Twitter to @BenRosenthal.
We're going to get a message tomorrow being like, what the hell, guys? Why am I getting all these links? Stop it.
Mike, I'm getting some weird links. You'll be like, oh my god, somebody listened?
Tarv has a lot of access to tracheotomy porn.
Wow, Tarv, that's a weird fetish, but whatever gets you off, I guess. God damn. So, let's talk about this too for a little bit. Did you see the Fire Rick Remender controversy?
I came in right at the end of it when the posts went up on Tumblr already, kind of debasing it.
Here's what basically happened. The current volume of Captain America, volume 7, because for some reason Marvel refuses to have an ongoing series anymore. It's funny, So they have basically been doing this thing since, I think, a year after DC did their big reboot called Marvel Now. And basically what they do is they don't do ongoings anymore, they do volumes. and the volume will run for any number of issues. I think the last volume of Captain America ran for 12. There was a couple Wolverine volumes that ran for 12.
I guess that makes it easier to, like, make collections, which is where most of their money's coming from now.
Yeah, it's all padded for trade now, anyways.
Yeah. When they realized that their, like, monthly floppy issues weren't getting sold anymore and everyone was going to the trades and graphic novels, it's like, why not market it more towards that? I mean, still come out with the monthly stuff because people are still buying those, but not as many, so market it towards the people buying the collections. It makes sense.
And there is still this perception, both in the kind of casual fans that they're marketing to and both in the company itself, that their best sellers are going to be, like, number one. Because people are going to be more prone to jump onto it. Which is weird, because when I was a kid, I loved getting, like, a high-numbered book. I thought that was cool.
See, yeah, I'm with them on that. It's like, when I saw higher numbers, I was like, I don't want to have to go back and look at the, like, 300 issues before this one, so I'm just not going to bother.
I never worried about that. And again, that kind of goes back to my issue with the belief that we need to reboot everything, because I've always kind of been of the opinion if the writer knows what they're fucking doing, maybe that's the problem, current era comic book writers. They can get you caught up in the span of an issue with what you need to know.
I mean, I eventually got over it, and I started reading comics. Like, I'd try to find where at least that story arc, the latest arc, was beginning and start there. But, when I was younger and didn't have a whole lot of money to just throw at comic books, it's like if I saw a really high number and knew that I couldn't catch up, it was like, I'll just avoid that one then.
Yeah, I never really had that. I never really thought much about the number. I'd see it and I think it'd be cool, but I was really just kind of going off the cover if I thought it looked interesting or anything like that. I had such a weird, like, mishmash of just... I don't think I ever had, like, a complete story growing up. I just had these random comics that were parts of stories, and I just ran with it.
I had a couple of those, too. It's like if we were going on a camping trip and my parents would just, like, buy two or three comic books to give me something to do.
Yeah. Here, Mike, leave us alone. Your mom and I are going to go off in the woods by ourselves.
Okay. Okay, I'll just stay here in the motorhome and read my comic books. Who's this character? I have no idea. Apparently these people don't like him, though.
Well, I guess they don't like him. They're punching him in the dick, so.
Then see what happens next month at the end of it. Oh, well, I guess I'm never going to find out.
One day when I'm older, I can download these things on the internet in a manner which is not entirely legal. I'll know.
I don't even have those early issues anymore, so I wouldn't even know what I read to go research.
The few I remembered, I found the issues. I honestly still have a few of those, like, just kind of random comics that have, by just pure goddamn luck, survived the ravages of time. It's just like, oh yeah, I got that when I was, like, six. I don't know how the... 'Cause I remember I had a stack of fucking comics that had, like, no covers on them, and they were just beat to fucking shit, and I'd hang on those and read them to death, even when I was a kid. But I just... One day, a few years ago, just, like, somehow wedged underneath the drawer of a dresser, my mom found, like, three.
Huh.
And she's like, well, are these yours? Yeah, I wonder what the fuck happened to those. Don't know how they got there. Probably tried to put them in the drawer, and the drawer was too full or something. Just strangely survived.
Hmm. I mean, I have a couple of those. I have, like, a Captain N issue. That was the first it was the first comic that Joe Quesada got published in, which I didn't know when I bought it, but once I found that out, I've been kind of keeping it protected. And I found like a couple of those Valiant video game magazines, and then I've got like some of the Malibu Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat comics.
Oh, those Mortal Kombat comics are great.
They are. They're so terrible.
Just terrible.
They're so cheesy that they're awesome.
Nothing even resembling canonicity. Just terrible.
Yeah, you could really tell that the writers of those comics sort of had a vague idea about Mortal Kombat, but probably didn't know what the story was or anything. And I've got one that ends with like a robotic Goro coming out of the earth.
So nobody likes each other in these games, right? Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
But now they won't even do like a full run volume. You still have your ongoings. I think Avengers is still going on right now. Spider-Man is still ongoing. They just fucking rebooted it. It was at like 700 and then they canceled it to make it Superior Spider-Man. So when Superior Spider-Man ended, it became Amazing Spider-Man #1, which is like volume 4 or something. which is
but ridiculous. Haven't they also, didn't they start, I thought I heard that they're doing the bullshit again where there's like 4 Spider-Man books a month now?
Not really. There's still only one, like, core Spider-Man title. And then you have Spider-Man 2099, which also came, it started, almost said today, it started Wednesday.
Which I saw you tweet Matt about that and said that it was really good and something about...
it was actually...
Something about 2099 and good together in the same sentence didn't really compute with me.
Oh, number one, fuck you, Spider-Man 2099 was amazing.
No, it wasn't.
No, no pun intended. I love 2099.
2099 stuff is all bullshit.
Most of it is. I really enjoyed Spider-Man 2099. It had a real kind of like nice sci-fi kind of body horror theme going for it, which is not something you could do with like the Peter Parker Spider-Man because he's too fucking goofy. You can't do that Spider-Man as like a hard sci-fi. They've tried. It didn't fucking work. Well, then you get shit like Homo Arachnus, the man spider, and oh, fuck. So there was that. There's Amazing Spider-Man. I think there's still Superior Foes of Spider-Man? That might have got canceled when Superior ended.
I kind of liked when Spider-Man had, like, a supernatural deal to it.
What, you mean, like, around the time of The Other and all that? When he was, like, the spider god or whatever?
Something like that, with Ezekiel, and it's like he was somehow universally destined to become this, like, spider something or other. Yeah, and he was, like, the spider czar, and...
Yeah, that whole fucking story where the payoff was he got web shooters, like, in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys went a long fucking way to do this, and then went, never mind, and undid it.
Yeah, it was, like, years of build-up to have him get bio web shooters and the weird stingers.
Yeah, the little fucking talons in his vest that he never used.
He used him in one issue to stab and kill a guy in some frenzied rage, and then never used him again.
Never again. Never mentioned again. I kind of like that stuff. The issue with Spider-Man is at the time it happens, everybody kind of reads it, oh, they fucking ruined Spider-Man. But usually in hindsight, those stories are better than people give them credit for.
Well, it's just the comic nerd status quo. That anything that might alter their perception of their beloved characters is heresy, and they're calling for people's heads, and...
I mean...
Like, let these characters evolve, for Christ's sake. There's the reason why people stop reading them, and because once you read a story, you've read every story.
Right. I mean, like, I've been one of the few people who has genuinely kind of enjoyed the stuff since Brand New Day, which was where they... Mephisto, and he made a deal with the devil, and everybody was like, this is the fucking death of Spider-Man, man. Peter Parker would never do that, bro. I don't know why a bunch of California surfers are...
Like, these the people that you have reading Spider-Man are not the people that are reading Spider-Man.
Are they doing a Spider-Man, dude? Come on, bro. Man, you should make a surfboard out of webbing and just hang 10. Fuck the devil, dude. Mary Jane could get it. I thought that stuff was really good. It was not necessarily, like, on par with the Spider-Man I grew up with, but this isn't supposed to be the Spider-Man I grew up with anymore. He's supposed to have evolved a little bit. I will say when Dan Slott writes him, he does occasionally get a little too close to being just a colossal goddamn douchebag. But for the most part, I've enjoyed it. They did, ironically, after all this talk about how they keep rebooting, the gimmick they're doing right now, which is not a fifth week event. I don't even think they do fifth week events anymore. I'm trying to think what you would call it. A fifth week event, for those of you who don't know, is back in the day, before the internet.
What? There was a day before the internet?
Or when the internet was less prominent than it is now and you had to type in like AOL keywords to find shit because nobody knew the fucking... your comics came out. It's not like now where like you'd get like you might get like 2 issues of Iron Man a month and then not see another one until August. It would come out the same week every month without fail. And they would have everything divvied up over 4 weeks, but every couple months you have 5 weeks a month. So companies would sometimes do a big fifth week event, and the week where they had no comics scheduled to come out, they would do like special issues. Or like DC once did the Tangent Comics line, which is a whole like alternate reality kind of pop art line using just the names and concepts of characters are completely different.
Wait, DC had an alternate universe? What?
What? I don't know. And sometimes it would be things like, I think DC did, like, one of their big crossovers is just a fifth week event. Like, they just put the whole fucking thing out 1 week and said, here you go, guys, have fun. Like, five issues in 1 week. Because there's nothing else scheduled that week. So they just drop all this on you. You buy this instead of what you would, you know. And then next week they just resume the schedule as normal. You don't really get that anymore because now they can just be like, Iron Man's coming out this week, not next week. Buy it this week. Don't buy it next week. It's not as big a deal anymore. This is just a month-long event that I think just happens to fall on a fifth-week month. It's the 100th anniversary variant. They're basically releasing five number 100 issues. Last week was Fantastic Four. This week was Spider-Man. It was a really fucking good issue. It's a fucking shame that they're not going to put out anything following up or touching on that issue because it was really good. It's all like, they're all treated like the end of a big storyline that's wrapping up in issue 100, like, so many years in the future. They're also doing Avengers and X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy the remaining weeks of the month.
Huh.
One of those five doesn't really belong in that pairing. I can't imagine why it's getting released. I wonder if it has a movie about to come out.
No. By the way, I picked up a Rocket Raccoon.
What'd you think?
It was so good.
Scotty Young is awesome.
Yeah, that it took me about 2 hours to read this 30-page comic book just because I was just poring over the art.
Yeah, Scotty Young is great. Yeah, if you get the chance to read it, Spider-Man 100th Anniversary Edition. The Fantastic Four one is supposed to be pretty good, too. I haven't read it yet. I've just kind of skimmed it. I haven't really read it yet. But Spider-Man number 100, fucking amazing. God, I can't, you can't fucking describe a Spider-Man book as, like, anything, can you?
It's spectacular, no. It's very friendly neighbor, no.
Sensational? Fuck, it's so Peter Parker, god damn it.
So Mary Jane loves, no, god, ultimate, god damn it.
I guess you could say this book was superior, fuck. They have co-opted every goddamn adjective for Spider-Man. So, goddamn, we have gotten off topic. The fire Rick Remender thing.
Yeah. The thing we started talking about 20 minutes ago.
We didn't have anything else to talk about, let's be honest. The Fire Recommender thing. So the current volume of Captain America started with Captain America winding up this place called Dimension Z, where he was held captive by Arnim Zola, and he swiped Arnim Zola's infant son, who he named Ian, and then raised on his own. And then Ian was captured again by Arnim Zola, who brainwashed him and turned him against Captain America. And Captain America thinks he may have killed Ian, and also Sharon Carter died rescuing Captain America from out of Dimension Z. The whole storyline takes place over 11 years, but in the Marvel Universe, it only took place in 1 year because time is screwy in Dimension Z. Now, 11 years didn't pass in Dimension Z, as that dimension, like, would recognize it. The whole point of this storyline is that time is screwy. But everybody's, you know, so in the last episode, or issue, with Captain America robbed of the Super Soldier Serum again because you can't go 2 years without reminding everybody that Captain America is just a man on drugs. Falcon accidentally had a drunken one-night stand with this girl named Jet Zola, who was also one of Arnim Zola's kids that Captain America brought back from Dimension Z. She kind of ham-handedly throws it out there that she is at least 23 in the issue, but everybody is trying to say Rick Remender wrote a statutory rape scene in Captain America. Which he did not!
No, he didn't. I mean, it is just kind of a throwaway line to make her legal to have the whole sex thing happen, it's like, if it happened in the comic, it's canon, so it's legal. Sorry, people who want to fight that point.
Sorry, guys. Now, here's what happened. Nobody read the rest of the fucking series. If you had, I always read her as, like, mid to late 20s. She never read as younger than that. She always read as an adult.
But it was something that that blog post pointed out, that
John Romita Jr. can't draw kids.
Exactly. Well, he can yeah. draw kids, and he can draw adults. He can't draw anything in between.
Yeah. And that's kind of a J.R. Jr. problem. I've always kind of been lukewarm to him. I think he does on a really good Spider-Man. I almost said amazing. Fuck.
He does a fantastic Spider-Man.
There we go. Well, I feel like that one was co-opted at some point.
But not with him.
I feel like it was at some point.
He was in the team, but he wasn't. They didn't like have an issue that was the Fantastic Spider-Man.
I think John Romita Jr. draws a classic seminal Spider-Man. Boom.
Seminal? Ew.
Oh, fuck you.
Speaking of drunken sex, seminal.
Oh! But everything else he does, I'm kind of... His characters tend to look like they're made out of bricks.
Yeah. If you were doing a superhero comic in Minecraft, it would be a genre.
Yeah. And that's why it's so mind-boggling that his Spider-Man always looks so goddamn good.
Yeah.
Because everything else does not. I think it has to do with the fact that you cannot see Spider-Man's mouth or nose.
Well, he did good on Daredevil as well.
Yeah, his Daredevil run was good. It's got to be something with that like type of hero.
Yeah.
Because his Captain America was blocky and weird, and everybody looked like they were 2 or 40.
His Wolverine had problems, but I noticed 2 or 3 issues in that was the inker's problem.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he just gets saddled with shitty inkers when he's not doing Spider-Man or Daredevil.
Maybe.
Or maybe we're just putting too much thought into this.
I don't know.
So
I just noticed in Wolverine it looked like the inker was using a Sharpie to do everything.
Well, you know, his claws are sharp, so use a Sharpie. Snick, snick, motherfucker!
I'm gonna hang up this call. I will hang this up. This will be the end of the podcast.
Only took a year before Mike was like, oh, fuck this. He's so fucking lame. So, basically, if you go back and read the story, though, the notion... when you first see her, like, in the very first issue, you see both of these characters, because they're trying to say that her and Ian were both the same age, because Ian was still a kid when he died, and the time frame was still the same. But if you, on the very first page you see them, Ian is like an infant, and Jet Zola is clearly like...
Yeah, she's like 10, running around...
11-ish.
She's like running around and talking, and they show Ian in a tube.
In a tube.
Fetus form.
Yeah. And then by the time you see those two characters side by side again, he is... older. Maybe he's 2. Maybe he's 10. I guess he's closer to... I don't know. Again, the whole point of this storyline is time was really fucking screwy in Dimension Z.
He is kind of a bobblehead doll when you see
him. He is a huge fucking bobblehead. Jet is very clearly like a young woman. Like, again, I figured like 20s.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't look like she's 11. That's for fucking sure. Unless there's a lot of hormones in the chicken in Dimension Z.
It could be. It's just those steroid cows.
Arnim Zola's just, like, fucking injecting them with steroids and chicken. Time for your chicken shots. Mm. So it's another fucking bullshit made-up controversy that keeps cropping up in the comics industry now.
Mm-hmm. It's because everyone has a cause that they gotta get behind.
Everyone has a trigger.
And everyone's gonna try to find that thing that sets that trigger off so that they can point at it and be like, that's a bad thing!
No!
And yeah, so, I mean, I saw you make a couple tweets about it, and by the time I actually got around to researching any of it, Mark Waid had posted the link to that Tumblr. I read that first before going back and seeing any of the other controversy, and then was just kind of like, oh, these people are morons. Which is my kind of go-to response to anybody with a controversy. These people are morons.
Pretty much. Let's see. I'm just kind of checking Twitter real quick to see if people are still calling for the firing of Rick Remender.
No, the problem I had is that after the fact, after it was already sort of debunked, people were then responding to the critics with, like, rape and murder threats. Which is not a good thing.
Kind of missing the point there. I do see where the person who started the tag has now published a, like, 1,500-word apology explaining why they started it. It does not appear to have actually ever apologized in this 1,500-word apology.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yay, internet. Why should you be accountable for your actions when you could just be on Twitter?
Yeah, and then Tom Brevoort said something about why have facts when we can have outrage?
Pretty much.
And I said, well, of the two, I mean, I think you'd agree that outrage is the most important. We don't have to actually know things as long as we can be angry about them.
Let's see. Let me just find a few of these. Whether she is or isn't underage, the fact that so many readers question it means his writing never made it clear.
The fact that she explicitly said, on my 23rd birthday, I had this drink.
I never read her as younger than her 20s, so... I think, again, this kind of goes back to nobody read the fucking book.
Yeah.
God, these just fucking make my head hurt. Look, if you're gonna be pissed off on the internet, can I ask just one thing? Fucking spell things correctly.
Don't use you for you.
Yeah, it's... It kind of sucks to see things blow up like that on the internet. Twitter has really kind of changed the perception of the comics industry to begin with. Because thanks to Twitter, I now know that my favorite comics creators fucking hate each other. For instance, you and Ben fucking feud quite a bit. Hi!
Hi!
Well, that was always exciting when that happens.
Well,
go ahead. We'll keep going. What happened?
Are you still recording?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me explain you a thing.
Grandpappy Mike's here got a story to tell you about the internet and how they're a mean old monster.
Comcast...
They're douchebags.
Yes, they are.
The biggest goddamn douchebags.
They got us a new modem that has Wi-Fi built right into the thing.
Right into the thing?
Right into the thing. You don't need a router or nothing. It's a great little device. The problem is that it has about a 5-foot radius. So I still need to use my router to get internet in my room, which is on the other side of the house from the modem. The problem with that is that the modem and the router's Wi-Fi don't like each other and try to fight over who gets my computer.
Oh.
So right now, I am connected to the modem's Wi-Fi, so I have about 10 minutes before the thing will die. Because the wind will shift, or the moon will get into a different position, and I'll have to go in there, and I will have to fiddle around with stuff until my computer can read the router again.
Oh!
So thanks, Comcast, for sending me things that are going to screw up everything. You
good job, Comcast.
Bastards. I can't wait until this whole bullshit, the net neutrality stuff kicks in, and you can start charging me more to go to certain sites that aren't on your white list, you bastards. Fucking assholes.
So what you're trying to tell us is you love Comcast.
And my state finally approved, Google...
Fiber?
Google Fiber to come in, to get wired through. But... At the same time, that's Google. It's like, so who do I want to sell my soul to? Which demon do I want to have possess my body? Because apparently one of them has to. And I either go with the ones who are bastards, or the other ones who are bastards.
You know what you should do? You're 29. You're getting a little up there in the years. It's time to just reboot with a new number one, Mike. Just call them up and be like, no, I'm issue number one. You're going to bring me...
You're going to be me.
Badass internet.
Fresh internet that is not controlled by assholes.
Fresh interwebs.
God. Anyway, what I was saying about Twitter is that it's sort of given everyone a soapbox that whenever they have a problem, they can climb onto and send their message out to sometimes hundreds of thousands of people. And it doesn't.
Too many people.
It doesn't matter if they're right. But these people will see that message and see this person's take on it and consider that truth without digging further into it.
Yeah.
It's like people could say, someone probably more popular than I could see me and be like, Mike Perry is a racist, and send that out into the internet. And from then on, I'm a racist. I am a racist, but it's not fair to just throw that out there without backing it up.
Did you just admit you're a racist on the air?
I was meaning that as a joke. I thought that you would start laughing, and then everyone would know that it was a joke, but apparently you didn't catch it. Now people will think it's serious.
Can't wait to use this audio clip out of context.
I am a racist.
That just means you're an apologist for the Arnold Schwarzenegger hit film The Eraser.
Yeah.
No, just Eraser. Just Eraser.
No one should apologize for that movie.
But you know what you should apologize for?
What?
Racism. But not a racer. Oh, late 90s Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ugh. So, yeah. That
Twitter is great. Don't use it for hate. Oh, God, that rhyme.
That
felt
a,
dirty.
That is a good slogan.
Twitter is great. Don't use it for hate.
I want that on a bumper sticker. That I'll put on, like, my bike or something. That
I was going to say.
I'll put it in the spokes of my bike so it sounds like a motorcycle.
I don't know why your bike sounds like the cars from the Jetsons.
It's a 2014 bike, so you know, it's high tech.
It's a flying bike.
No, I think this bike that I've been riding has... We've had it here for probably 15 years. So, yeah.
So, there you go. And, yeah. Fire Rick Remender was bullshit.
Yes, it was.
You shouldn't fire Rick Remender.
Even if you didn't agree with the storyline or whatever, you should then, like, not call for blood, but...
Right.
Maybe say, hey, guy, this wasn't a good thing, so for future stories, avoid it.
The real kicker is if I had to place a theory on how this whole thing started, I would be willing to bet he wrote a script, and somebody in editorial said, wait a minute, people may not realize how old she is. We better throw this line in where you say she's 23. And that's what set everybody off, because they went, he's just trying to fucking ham-fistedly shove this shit in here.
Yeah. He's trying to sex in my Captain America, and I won't have it.
I don't want sex in Captain America. Go back to 90-year-old fucking wrinkly-ass Prudy Steve.
Yeah,
there was a period in time where Captain America was like the fucking best book Marvel was putting out. It had this really great spy kind of espionage feel to it. And then they killed him and they brought Bucky in his cap. And that was a lot of fun because it was about legacy and redemption. And then they brought Captain America back from the dead. And it was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And now they have just made him a 90-year-old man again. And now they're going to introduce a new Captain America.
They had to rob him of his strength drugs.
Who is probably the Falcon, the new Captain America. Which doesn't make sense at all.
No.
Because the last time he died, they established there were only like 3 people who could use his fucking shield without losing an arm.
Bucky, because he's already lost one.
Bucky, Hawkeye, and... Maybe it was only 2.
Probably Wolverine, because he's got metal bones.
Yeah, because his arm would just grow back.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they explicitly told Hawkeye, they were like, you're the first person to use this shield that did not lose his arm trying to catch it. It's like, oh my god.
Wait, what? I'm kind of confused, because I haven't read it in a while. I haven't read anything in a while.
Okay.
Hawkeye is Hawkeye again, right?
Hawkeye is Hawkeye again.
Okay, because for a while, or at least when I left off, there was a girl Hawkeye... And there Hawkeye still... was like Ronin.
Yeah, he's Hawkeye again. Because you had he died, and then there was Kate Bishop, who the Avengers gave her the Hawkeye code name because she stood up to Captain America, and they were like, "There's only one other fucking person who's done that." Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then House of M, Hawkeye came back to life as a result of that.
She wasn't Hawkeye in Young Avengers. Was she?
Not initially. She was after like the first story arc. At the end of that story arc was when they gave her the code name.
Okay, but yeah, she had some other name before that.
She was just Kate, I think.
Well, I thought she had a code name. Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does, Mike.
God damn it. We're gonna...
As I wiki it. Nope, she was only Hawkeye. Oh, no, she just... No, she was only Hawkeye.
Hmm.
So anyways, she... So he was Ronin, and then at the end of Siege... He was just kind of Hawkeye again. And they even threw some shade on it. Spider-Man was like, you're just Hawkeye this week? And he was like, yeah, fuck it. I don't care.
So what happened to Kate?
She's still around. She's actually showing up in the Hawkeye ongoing. Which, by the way, is a really good book that they just kind of published sporadically.
Whenever, Matt Fraction can get around to writing it, then we'll put one out.
It's kind of funny because it is like one of the consistently best-selling and best-reviewed books that Marvel puts out. And there's just like... 4 or 5 month stretches of time where it just doesn't release. Alright. That's 2014 Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. At least they're still giving us good movies, so.
Yeah, they do got that going for them. So. That's comics. DC still sucks.
They're still racist, sexist DC comics.
There's still DC comics if you just want to fucking hate yourself more. Trying to think what they've done recently that was stupid. they're actually not doing too bad right now. Their stuff's kind of interesting. First issue of Grayson came out Wednesday, and it was good.
No, what was the? That's not necessarily DC's fault, I don't think, but it was revealed, if I can find it, that Poison Ivy's real name in the Gotham show that's coming up is not Pamela Isley, but Ivy Pepper.
Fuck you. No, I do remember what the stupid thing they did. There was, they eventually decided it was okay. So there was this kid, Jeffrey Baldwin, who died as a result of child abuse in 2002. And he was a big Superman fan. And they were going to erect a statue in his honor. And it was going to be him dressed as Superman, and DC Comics filed an injunction to keep them from putting the Superman logo on the statue.
What? Oh, so this is like a shoot thing. This didn't happen in the comics.
No, this is real life.
Oh,
this is
my
real
God.
Life. Hang on, I'm reading the article right here. DC Comics has denied request to allow the Superman logo to appear on the memorial statue for Jeffrey Baldwin, a 5-year-old Toronto boy who died as a result of child abuse in 2002. Baldwin and his sister were removed from the care of his parents after abuse allegations in 98, but it seems that his maternal grandparents were no better. According to the trial where the grandparents were convicted of second-degree murder, Baldwin was kept in a locked bedroom where he lived in his own feces and drank from a toilet and eventually died of starvation. They wanted to put up a statue in his honor. They asked DC if they could put the Superman logo on him because the statue was already like sculpted and mocked up. And it was him in a Superman costume based on a picture of him when he was little, dressed as Superman. When he was little, he was two. Not two. Anyways. And DC was like, no. DC finally, when the public caught wind of this, and said, what the fuck, DC? Are you still there?
I'm here. I'm just okay. Mortified.
DC did the other day. Let's see. Was it yesterday? It was Wednesday. DC did finally say, oh, God, you guys are really pissed about this. Well, okay, we guess you can use that. The official statement from DC, we are honored by the relationship that our fans have with our characters and fully understand the magnitude of their passion. We take each request seriously, and our heartfelt thoughts go out to the victims, the family, and those affected. DC Entertainment uses a flexible set of criteria when we receive worthy requests such as this, and at times have reconsidered our initial stance.
That's a nice PC bullshit way to wiggle out of this.
I mean, it's not like people are going to be like, that's a Superman statue. It is obviously a little kid wearing a Superman costume. God damn it, DC.
But yeah, when you were saying it, I thought...
You were like, this is like a comic story where Superman's being evil?
Well, I mean, I know that New 52 Superman's a dick, so I figured maybe that was the storyline. And I was like, oh no, this is like an actual, real-life thing that happened. God damn it.
Yep.
Well... There you go.
Good old DC. I am genuinely, like, at a loss for how to... I can understand, like, protecting your trademark. I definitely get that, don't get me wrong.
It's not like people are selling these statues.
Exactly. It's not like...
They're not mass marketing action figures of this kid dressed as Superman with the logo on his chest. It's a memorial statue, for God's sake. It's gonna sit in a park. Or somewhere. I don't know where they're putting the damn thing.
The best part is basically like every, like all the way up to even like Time Magazine posted the same headline. DC won't let statue of murdered kid who loved Superman use Superman logo.
Yeah. That's the only headline you can use. And it tells you everything you need to know about how big a douchebags DC Comics is being about this.
Goddamn DC.
When that stupid ass Superman logo is on everything anyway.
It's not like it sells on anything either.
I mean, there's underwear or something that has a Superman logo on it that's not officially licensed that some douchebag thinks he's hot shit because he's got Superman boxers, but it's like, the shit's on everything. Just let it go, guys.
We're only like another year out from seeing it on everything, too, when Dawn of Justice comes out.
We get to see Superman logo and Fat Batman logo.
You remember when Man of Steel came out? You could not escape Superman.
Oh, yeah.
And all you can find all that shit right now in the clearance section of your Walmart. I'm not looking forward to that. there's still, like, Man of Steel toys.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere, just not selling. Now they're next to the Ninja Turtles toys that aren't going to sell.
There's, last time I was at Toys R Us, there was still, Superman Returns toys.
Oh, my God. I think they would have, like, consolidated those by now or so. Or maybe you have one of the consolidation stores.
Well, there is one of the aisles that's like, here's the shit that we are trying to give away. We...
we will give you a complimentary Nintendo DS game if you buy one of these.
Yeah.
iCarly, too.
But yeah, it's like there is still some incredibly old shit there. And yeah, it's still like just this old superhero movie bullshit.
I need to come up and go poke through all that shit and see what I can find that I want.
Nothing from Superman Returns.
No, God, no. I didn't hate Superman Returns, actually.
But yeah, the best part about it is that we're not just going to get Superman toys from this next movie. We're going to get every character that DC has.
Oh, man.
All reimagined as movie versions of them.
I should just hang out in the Toys R Us and charge parents $5 for me to explain to them what the fuck these figures are.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck's the Martian Manhunter? Hello, I'll help you with that. $5, please. He's like Superman, but stupider.
Superhero consultant, Chris. Oh, Jesus.
Who is Snapper Carr?
Who's Martian Manhunter? Don't look him up. He does not angrily rape She-Hulk.
It's Superman, with like literally the exact same power set. But he's afraid of fire, and he doesn't quite get humans, so that makes him not as good.
That was the thing that Jeb came up with back in high school. He wrote this big, long document about how every one of the Justice League, or no, the Super Friends, rather, was all just sort of backups for if Superman's busy.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone has Superman's powers in some way, but none of them are quite as good as Superman.
Well, you've seen the, there was a text from Superheroes thing. It was, Superman texting the JLA asking who wanted to do, if somebody could do monitor duty so he can go spend Thanksgiving with his parents. And every other superhero's like, we'll do it. Really? Why would you do that? And they're like, you're the only one with living relatives. You get all the living relatives and all the superpowers. Enjoy your day.
God. Fucking DC.
Fucking DC Comics. They're dropping the ball just as hard as Marvel. They're just doing it in different ways. Their books aren't being retitled. Their characters are just being written poorly.
Different balls.
This fucking notion that Superman has to be cool and edgy is the stupidest goddamn thing. When was the last time? Have you ever read anything with Superman in it and thought, wow, Superman's fucking cool?
No, he's dull as shit.
That's the fucking point. He's a fucking gosh darn country hick, kind of. He's a bumpkin.
But, I mean, it's like, he's an idiot that can't be killed.
Right.
It's not fun to read his book. I mean, you could turn him into an asshole, but that still doesn't... Now he's an asshole that can't be killed, so it's not fun to read anymore either.
The best Superman stories are the ones where Superman's not really... the one being affected by this. The best Superman stories have been Lois Lane stories or Jimmy Olsen stories or Lex Luthor stories where Superman is just kind of a participant in the events that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
When you try to write a story, I mean, because what can you do to Superman? I think the last really good Superman story was the Brainiac story a few years ago that ended with Pa Kent dying, but you only do that once. You can't, like, reload that gun. I mean, I guess you could.
Yeah. This is comics, Christopher. They can kill Pa Kent as many damn times as they want.
About the third time you resurrect Pa Kent, you kind of start to go, all right. Comics.
Anyway, we should probably wrap this up.
Should we?
I think so. We were at 40 minutes when my internet took a shit, and now it's 21 minutes into this call, and I know there was like 5 minutes where I was trying to get everything to work again.
So to wrap this up, you should watch Super Sentai Single Shot.
Yes, you should.
You should tell all your friends about this podcast.
Yes, you should.
You should never use Comcast or read Marvel or DC comic books.
You should not.
Archaea put out an Adventure Time comic book Wednesday. It was really good. Not Archaea. They're Boom now. Boom barred Archaea. Boom put out an Adventure Time comic. It was really good.
Except for the fact that it's Adventure Time. Adventure Time is not great.
It's better than some of the shit on Cartoon Network.
That doesn't make it good.
I enjoy it. I think it's alright. I'm not watching it to fucking do an analysis of the plot. I'm watching it because I don't fucking care.
It's the, my friend Tristan, who, was watching Mad TV religiously and would always ask me, did you see Mad TV? And I said, no, it's shit. And he was like, well, it's better than Saturday Night Live. It's like, that doesn't make it not shit.
It's not hard to be better than Saturday Night Live these days.
It's like, if that's your only reason for watching it, you need to reevaluate your reasons for watching television.
So, read indie books. Or just read, like, old DC and Marvel. Find you, like, an early 90s Spider-Man comic. It's going to be the time of your life.
And go to manandsuitcomics.com and download some of those comics. They're free.
Or you can find an old issue of Spider-Man 2099. I don't care what Mike says. It's fucking awesome. No, Matt'll back me up on this.
Yeah, Matt, you should see some of the movies Matt has. His taste is not great.
You should see some of the movies I have.
He has the entire collection of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Do not take Matt's word for what is good.
Because your movie collection is so much more highbrow.
Hey, I've got Surf Ninjas.
God damn it, you are not helping your case. Isn't Rob Schneider in Surf Ninjas?
Yes, he is.
Matt wins. Thanks for listening, everybody.
No, because there is not giant tomatoes in Surf Ninjas.
If there were giant tomatoes, Surf Ninjas would be way better.
No, it would not. No, it would not.
Yes, it would.
No. Goodbye, everybody.
If you like this, send us a tweet with the hashtag, I don't fucking care. Good night, everybody.
Good night.